Welcome to the Judgmental Podcast, episode 7. I'm once again joined by George Busher. Hey, George.
Hello, hello. Good morning and good evening to all my European and Australian friends.
Yes, we're at, I think it's really late at night for the US guys, but this is a better stream time for, it's evening in Australia and morning in Holland, George, where you are? Is it morning?
Yeah, and it's early morning over here. The kids at daycare, I've had my morning coffee and the wife's at work, so awesome. We're good to go.
Yeah, I've had a pretty packed day today because I did a stream earlier where I did the patch notes number 6 walkthrough.
So this is your second podcast for the day, right?
Yes.
Second live stream.
Yeah, second live stream. So the first one, I walked through it, which was great. I always love doing those shows. And so today in the podcast, we're going to actually talk about the patch notes. They are on our website under the news section. You can check them out. We are busy updating the print and play section on the website, as well as getting the two apps updated, which is cool. And the Vassal module as well should be out maybe tonight with all the changes included as well. So George has had a read. He actually watched the stream earlier today and he's had a read. So we're going to have a talk about his thoughts and I'll give my thoughts. And then George, we're going to then reveal our warbands for the Vassal League Season 2.
That's right. Yeah, and we're going to do it before the deadline, so all of you guys listening can tech against us specifically if you have a grudge.
So that's going to be awesome. So I've revealed the Vassal League draw has been released, but you can play the games in any order. But yeah, so, and Jeffrey's in the EU-NA pools. He's in your pool, George.
My brother. That's Jeff. Right. He's in my pool. I'm very excited for that one. I think he won our last game that we played, so it's good to have a rematch. I'm still a little bit sour from that time that he beat me when I met him live, so 3v3. So I have to do well this time to reclaim some semblance of honor.
So it's gonna be cool. And the top four from each pool go through to the quarters to the playoffs. So. Can't wait for that. Kicks off this week. Can't wait for that. It's going to be cool. So, all right. Patch notes number 6. We've been doing this for 18 months now. So, George, let's go through. I'm just going to bring up the patch notes in front of me as I haven't done that. Here it is. And then we'll have a chat about it. You might do the same.
Sure. Yeah, I have the patch notes as well. I think we can skip the clarifications because I think they're fairly self-explanatory.
Yeah.
So we can just get stuck right into the things that are getting errated and getting different in terms of how they're going to be playing.
Yep. Awesome.
I want to talk about the new artifact buying rules because I think that they'll actually have a pretty significant impact. And we saw it a little bit on the 3v3 stream that you guys played, I think 2 or 3 days ago with the Adepticon practice match.
Yep.
And it's pretty cool because I think this is going to be quite a popular strategy. The move that you did with Sonya in turn 1, I believe.
That might have been Jeff, where, I think. Yeah.
Oh, Jeff, yeah. Jeff did that with Sonya when he got the monster kill in turn 1 and then he went and just bought 2 magical items and just completely supercharged her.
Yeah, I think there's a few changes in this patch that on the face of it, you don't realize the depth of the changes they're introducing until you actually get a chance to try it and really think about the options. Buying multiple items in one go, you can get instantly fed in terms that you use when you're playing MOBAs. So, yeah, there's a lot of, like, you kill Ashtooth now, you can buy an offensive and defensive item straight away off the first turn. So there's a lot of cool stuff you can do. And, of course, George, now you can buy them and sell them. You can sell them as well.
Exactly. Yeah, the selling is going to be very, very helpful, especially now that you have an improved Sky who can just ship people back home to sell their magic items.
Yeah, he is cool.
When you're strapped for cash, so to speak.
He's a space freighter. Yeah, no, he's cool.
Exactly. So, back to the pawn shop.
Yeah, so the good thing about this as well is it's going to say, I think personally as a game designer, the magical artifacts really add a lot to the game. They're fun. I'm really keen to get some more out there, which we introduced one for this patch. And this sort of promotes their use because you're going to get people who can buy them and know if they get into trouble with fate later, they can end up selling them. So I think that's one good thing. And being able to buy two at once, really, like if you get a Boots of Agi and a Vorpal Blade, or just, I don't know, it instantly makes the character so much stronger, which is really cool.
Exactly. And I think it's because you always start with one fate, and the chances of you getting a turn one monster kill, the chances of you being actually able to pull it off, the double buy magical items, is actually really high. And I think for particular warbands and particular heroes especially, there's going to be some really good turn one strategies that you can use with those items to drastically change or specialize in a very particular playstyle that will allow you to do very cool things in turn two and turn three and turn four,
Yep,
you
definitely.
know.
Yeah, 100%. And like, just say you've got a character who's carrying an item and they get killed, they spawn their effigy. You could just say, I want to sell the item while I'm here, take the opportunity, get some more fate. Like, is I think it's to smooth the game out a bit, and it's going to be really cool to see what cool things people come up with. Particularly because I announced today in the next patch, because I didn't want to release too many artifacts in this patch, because we did a lot of a fair amount of changes to some of the heroes and some core rule changes. We don't do a lot. I wanted to hold off. So I think the next patch, when we release the Earth and Fire map completely, as well as all the monsters and everything associated with it, we'll introduce some new magical items then as well, which will really spice things up.
I think that's a good idea. I think magical items are something you want to release slowly because you have to give the players time to get to
To
grips with
digest
it
them, yeah.
and to learn the new dynamics of the items. I mean, honestly, I still think people are still getting to grips with the last batch of magical items that were released.
It takes time. I mean, we like even yesterday I played a game and I used the po Potion of Ogre Strength on Piper when he was also in range with Bastion. So he's getting plus two for one turn. He just blew up Rakir. So even a glancing was four damage. Yeah, so these are the things, right? Like, and on a Nefany or a Sky, a Skull, the guys with two weapons, the plus one Ogre Strength is crazy. So there's a lot of items you don't see much of that I believe. And like I was talking today, that the Ring of Teleportation, which lets you teleport back to effigy for one action, that on Sky now is amazing. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, I cannot wait. I think that's definitely a premium turn one buy right there because you basically turn Sky almost into like a pseudo Styx with that item. And it's I think especially on a 3v3, if you buy the item and then walk him up the middle, then all of a sudden you have like complete defensive coverage over pretty much the entire board for your team. So you can play squishy heroes. You know, that don't have a large hit pool, and you can commit them, but you know, and still be safe in the knowledge that you know they're not going to get one rounded, they're going to take some damage, but I'll be able to pull them back, get them to safety, and then you know, heal them back up, and everything will be
I mean, his
fine.
ability to charge into a combat, that's because he's got an 8-inch charge, right, with
Yeah.
Pathfinder. So he can charge 8 inches into a combat to do some damage and then port out there and take a friend with him. Like, it's really making the map dynamic. So that's interesting. And I think we might as well talk about the new item now if you want to, the stasis potion, or do you want to wait for that later?
No, let's talk about it now. I mean, we're talking about items anyway. So the new item, the Astral Stasis Potion, aka the what is it? The stopwatch. The stopwatch.
So there's a couple of similar items in the MOBAs where your character goes, untargetable for a couple of seconds. So it sort of emulates what they do. I think this item, so in the game, in this game, what it does is you can't be targeted by during the next hero's activation. Now, this is another one that's got a lot more depth than looks like on the face of it. For example, there's an example where just say you've got Fazeel, he's got the item. So if he charges in, just say you activate him last, he charges in, smacks someone, you then use that item. They can't attack you in the next activation, and then you can use him again because it's a new turn. So like there's,
Exactly.
yeah, I mean, there's so much Zhonya charging in. And I mean, and people like Skye, if you charge Zhonya in and then she can't be targeted next turn, then Skye goes next and he can pull her out of trouble. Like this, or Styx does, or yeah.
Styx, yeah, I'm super stoked. I mean, You just made sticks even better. What can I say? I'm super happy. I'm like, you're not gonna hear me complaining about this. This is great. I can astral split like to suicidally dangerous positions. Just save my sticks till the last activation. I mean, obviously you want to have first turn, right? If you have sticks and you have first turn, buy this item because you will just save sticks to your last activation in the turn, right? Like, do some crazy astral split with one of their squishy heroes, put him in a crazy dangerous position, pop the item, and then next, your opponent's going to get one activation. He's not going to be able to do anything to sticks, and then next turn, just
Sticks is out.
teleport somewhere else. Yeah. Piece of cake.
That item, I was super excited to get that item out. So I've had that. Okay, I've got a list of a couple of lists that I've got, like a backlog. I've got hero powers, list of hero powers, list of magical artifacts, and if an idea pops into my head at any time during the day, I just take note of it. And then, so I've got this catalog. So this is the one that I've really wanted to introduce for a while, and I think it's going to be super fun to see what people do with it. And as I said at the top of the show, magical artifacts, we really like they're a unique part of the game. They're a great part of the game. So really cool. I can't wait to see what George does. And these are all live for the Vassal League, George. So
Exactly.
I'm assuming
Also,
when you
one
announce
thing.
your Boarband, Sticks is going to be in it. So I can't wait, but we'll see.
Also, one thing I noticed is that this item is actually really good on the swamp map because this will work against Vajashas, right? It won't work on Vajashas during the communion phase, but if you're standing next to a Vajasha and your opponent is soul gazing or getting souls, that's his activation, right? So if you activate this whilst you're standing next to a Vajasha, and then your opponent activates like his soul
Actually,
gazer,
you're actually
takes a
right.
soul,
Yes.
then the Vajasha is not going to hit you, right?
Yes.
It's going to ignore you. You're not going to be able to get targeted, which means it's like, two for one.
Yeah, because yeah, that's harmless. Because the actual wording says the bearer is unable to be targeted by enemy models during the next enemy hero model activation. You are
Exactly.
100% right. So there's yeah. So a Vajasha activating during your opponent's activation won't be able to target you. Crazy. Yeah,
Yeah. So
it's a good
I'm
item,
really
Josh.
looking forward to this item. I think the one use items in general are criminally underplayed. I personally, my favorite one of my favorite maneuvers to do, which is something that I'm planning on pulling off during this Vassal League, I do it whenever I can, is to use the healing potion in the middle of an activation on one of my damage heroes. Thorgar has done this many times whereby I will, he'll go in, take a bunch of damage, at some point he'll be on like 5 hit points or something because he's been fighting like three different separate people. And then I just say, you know what? I'm going to go kill this monster. And then people are like, why are you killing this monster? Because then I go, okay, I'm going to buy the healing potion, my last action I spent to heal full up. And then all of a sudden, there's like a 20 hit point Thorgar just sitting there saying, yeah, I just undid all of your work. And then people have to deal with that.
No, I think, yeah. So I think, I mean, it's going to be great that we've got a Vassal League kicking off so quickly after the patch, because people are going to, really exercise the hell out of the patch, which is going to be cool.
Which is
So,
going to be great because we're going to be able to get lots of feedback from everybody about the particular changes and how they affected their play styles and what they think of it, which is really
exactly. Yeah, 100%. Nightfly has just joined us, and Joffrey's on as well. We've got a few people watching,
cool.
which is good. So don't forget this. This will be available for download from Audio Boom. So and all, yeah, it's a normal podcast. We just stream it for fun at the same time, in case you get any viewer questions or comments. Joffrey reckons that the Vasili is going to be epic, and I agree. So we got 15 people in the Vassal League, so that's going to be sensational. All right, George. So we've had a look at talked about the new item.
That's the new eye. That's the item stuff.
Yep, and we talked about buying and selling and all that kind of stuff, so that's all cool. Now, what do you think about the fate, cutting a hero for a fate? So
I
for that,
think,
yeah, sorry, yep.
So yeah, why don't you tell people who might not know about it, what it does?
So basically, if after the communion phase, step three, where you generate fate, if your warband does not have any fate still, let's say you've had no fate and you've generated none, you are allowed to cut one of your heroes to receive a fate in your fate pool. The amount that you cut is a third of their maximum health, rounded up in true damage. with a minimum of 5. So it's a pretty hefty price to pay. There are some sweet spot ones like a Rakia or a Zhonya level 1. They're their 5 health, they cut themselves 4. But a lot of most of the heroes you're cutting for more than 5, and some of them you're cutting for 8 or 9, which is particularly harsh. And remember, this won't happen till at least turn 3 because you get fate the first 2 turns. So normally you've got things leveled up once or twice. So the more they level up, obviously the more damage they get. If they've got like temporary health, like Bulwark or something like that, they actually that counts towards their current maximum health as well. So it's a pretty hefty price to pay, but it is there to sort of smooth over those games where you just can't get fate. It's particularly good for new people learning the game. It removes a kind of a negative play experience that does exist when you just get behind and you can't get back. But we wanted to make sure it wasn't an easy leg up for someone who's losing to come back into the game. So that's basically the rule. Let's get George's thoughts on it.
Before I begin, I actually do have a question specifically about the interaction with Bulwark with this particular rule. Does the damage go through Bulwark, or does it take the will it take the Bulwark hit points off first?
It'll take the hit points path first. So basically, you count the Bulwark in your maximum, get the third damage, and all the damage you get automatically goes to the temporary damage first. So Bulwark first.
Okay, so Bulwark might be a reasonable way of kind of mitigating the hurt of this
It
a
still
little
is.
bit.
It'll make it. Bulwark itself will mean you'll cop an extra few damage, but then it will soak up 5 of it anyway. So it's actually quite. It is still a better thing to have, but it. Like if you have Bulwark on a person, just say here's an example. So level 2 Rakir, I think he's got 16, or is it 17 health? We'll say 16. He goes to 21 with Bulwark, so he'll take 7 damage, which means Bulwark comes off and he'll take 2 personally.
So if you play it correctly, then you can mitigate the hurt a little bit and still kind of get the resource that you need to help you get back into the game. I think this is a very important change. I think it was needed because I think that there was one particular situation where you could kind of play this game and not have that much fun because you could end up with an early deficit. So say one of your guys gets killed early, which means that you don't have the damage to get kills of your own, or you lose the soul that you were carrying, right? If your soul gazer gets jumped, for instance, like if you take turn 1, you get a quick soul or quick 2 souls, and then your soul gazer gets jumped before he can bank, then all of a sudden you can find yourself in a very sticky situation where you don't have any fate. And if you happen to have a particular warband that relies on fate to do the damage, then because you don't have the fate, you don't have the damage to get kills, to get souls, to get more fate. And it becomes a little bit of a kind of spiral downwards into a gradual, slow decline. And it's very hard to fight your way out of that. In some regards, I guess maybe that's a function of warband selection. But sometimes it's also just bad luck. Sometimes you can have a perfectly fine warband and you can just miss the kill, and then or just misplace one of your guys and get him killed and lose a soul that you were carrying, and it can kind of spiral quite quickly. And so I think this is a really good way of mitigating that. It still forces you to play very tactically because it has a big drawback. So it's very hard to abuse. I don't
It
really
is.
see this being abused. I mean, potentially, if I were playing a Saiyan, Haxa, Lorybella, Minotaur warband, I could find some way to heal my way out of it, I
But
think.
the bottom line is you've
But
actually got no fate,
that's
which means you've got no souls. And
yeah,
so I
which means you're
think,
losing.
to try to play for it is, you basically have to be losing the game to actually do this. So I think it's, and remember the timing wise, it's after regeneration because it's in the step 3 of the communion phase where regeneration is at the start of the turn. So you can't regenerate the damage that turn. And the other thing is you can't be cursed. So as a byproduct, poor Uncle Fazil can't do it. And anyone else is cursed. So you can have your options reduced if you've got cursed models on the board. So we've got a question just pop up from Nightflyer. If you have Skull, Bulwark, can you take him minimum 5 from the thing on a low health guy? without the added damage. So if you take 5 min damage from the thing on a low health guy, you then can cast Bulwark on it. Yes, you can. Yes. So the damage is taken. So just I think the clarification is, so as soon as you cut yourself, then at that moment in time, your maximum health is how much damage you take with a minimum of 5. So if you do it on a Victor or a Piper, they'll take 5 damage. You then can cast Bulwark on them and they'll go back to where they were if you wanted, if you had that timing, you could do that. Yeah. I mean, it makes Skull actually a bit stronger in the game, to be fair, because it's like a good insurance policy. But I have said this a lot of times that you actually have to be pretty much losing the game to make advantage of this. So if you're taking Skull for that reason, you're taking him to lose to be in case you're losing the game. But it is a good insurance policy to have. And
Yeah.
the rage quit table flipping scenario I can't wait to see is someone cutting their Zhonya for 5 or 6, taking her below 7, getting a fate, her charges in, and she just blows someone up.
No.
Now that's going to be sensational.
That is indeed table flip worthy, especially if you go in on your opponent's like soul gazer that has like carrying all of his souls.
So they think you've got no fate. You cut her to fate. She gets plus 1 damage, and then she just comes in and fates you and destroys you. So that's going to be so good to see.
Super secret tech here. From guns.
So yeah, I think I'm with you, George. Obviously, I think it's a good change. I think we debated this long and hard. We actually visited this before Christmas, before the last patch. Jeff and I had a chat about it, and we were just it was important. I've played MOBAs in the past where they've introduced patches that have this mechanic, the catch-up mechanic, and in one times in League of Legends they overcooked it, and so having an advantage early was actually no advantage because they just catch up automatically 5 minutes later, and we didn't want to have that. We wanted it to have some way for someone to have an option to fight their way back into the game, where with some games without this rule, it's really difficult to do that. So that was the aim.
Yeah. And also, if you are the opposing player, what I really like about it is that you can counter this, right? So you can, there are options that you have as the winning player in this situation to make sure that your opponent either doesn't get this opportunity for the fate or that the price that he pays for it is so severe that you then end up winning the game. So, for instance, you can use all of the heroes that can curse. If you can predict what model your opponent is likely to cut next turn, you can go out of your way to curse that model to prevent them from doing it, right? If they have one hero who's on a lot of hit points, then more than likely they're going to, you know, you cut that hero, so you curse that guy, and then they can't do it, or they have to cut one of their weak heroes, and then that basically then gives you basically a free kill next turn. So it balances out.
Yeah,
And
100%.
not only that, but if you keep your models that are carrying souls safe, then yes, they have one fate which they could potentially use on a fate ability to try and even the score. But if you don't expose that, you know, your models to that model that has that fate, then you can mitigate it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and I think a good game, and Judgment does this particularly well, I think, is that everything in the game pretty much has counterplay or ability to play well to counter something. It's not all just paper, scissors, rock where you just get countered and you just can't do anything about it. So this is an example of trying to add that where, as the talk just pointed out in the chat, it's an attempt to give a person a chance, but they still must play outplay their opponent to get back into the game. So this is not just going to get you back into the game automatically, and you're going to take some hefty damage. So one of your heroes is going to be vulnerable because you're going to be cutting them. So anyway, it's
Yeah.
good. I think we both agree it's a good change. Can't wait to see how much it gets used. I actually did it on stream the other day. But I got trounced and it didn't help me. I cut my Marcus for
Well,
6.
Marcus.
Yeah. Now
Yeah,
he
that's
didn't
right.
die. It kept him. He stayed alive. But yeah, it was. I mean, you could see I was losing that game. It didn't really help me at all. So, but I did it. It was an option. It made me feel better. It didn't feel like I
There
was a
you go.
hopeless. I felt like I still got a
Exactly.
fate. So it was good. So I think that's good. Yeah. From personally, I found it pretty good. So we'll see how many people do it in the Vassal League, which is cool.
Absolutely.
All right. Excellent. Now, hero updates, George. You want to go to that now?
Yes, let's do this alphabetically. Let's start with the best hero, Algorath.
So If you're watching the stream, I've actually got out every day. I know you know George. I actually put a big picture in the background of the stream, and it's a different hero, whatever, different times. Or this today, it's Algarath because he's the star attraction. He's the main man for this patch.
He sure is.
So I'll just talk about some of the changes for Algarath. So first of all, a smaller change: Eldritch Blast Discharge. This is what happens when Algarath dies. He used to do D3 damage to his summoner, which was Victor. He now does D3 plus one, so not a huge thing. But also, if that damage does kill Victor, the enemy does actually harvest Victor's soul. And in the past, that wasn't the case. So that is a nerf. It's a direct nerf. Now, Victor himself has not been touched. Victor on his own is actually still a decent model. He's a good hero, with a lot of good abilities and a good kit. But Algarath obviously adds a lot. So we've added that bit. Now the big one that we'll probably talk about. Well, actually, just get that for your thoughts on Eldritch Discharge first, George. What do you think about that change?
I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an investment. You know, the difference between D3 plus D3 plus one is fairly small, but I think it makes it just a little bit more of a investment where you have to say, okay, do I really need this algorithm? I have to think about it. And then you think about it for 2 to 3 seconds, and then you go, yeah, of course I'm going to pick algorithm. Yes. So, no change there in terms of strategy and playstyle, but you just got to be a little more careful with Victor, which is fine. He's
Which is fine.
supposed to be squishy, and also this means that you have to take care of Algarath a little bit more.
Yeah,
You
you
can't
can't
just
just be
be
flippant with him.
disposable.
Yeah, 100%. Now, the other change is Taunt, which is Algarath's main ability. The range has been reduced from 6 inches to 4 inches. And the other big change is Algarath has to be in line of sight of the taunted model at the start of their activation for them to be taunted. So one of the things that started happening a lot, and it became almost the main play you wanted to do, was to be 6 inches away, taunt someone, and then run behind a forest. It was a hugely negative experience for the person on the other end of it.
It's crippling.
It wasn't intended to be played that way, but like anything, when you create things in a game, good players will try things out and push the boundaries and try their best to win the game. So
Absolutely.
it was that we were trying to mitigate. So we've done it with 2 hits. The 6 inches to 4 inches is something we would have done anyway because it just makes more sense, and it was a bit too easy to get Algarath away. With this, that means if he taunts from 4 inches away, the most he can be away is 8 inches,
8 inches,
which
that's a
means,
big difference.
that's right, every melee character in the game should be able to charge him if they've got a clean line to him. So that was that change. Obviously, if you use terrain smartly or put models in the way, it's going to be a bit different. But the other one's line of sight. So let's get George's thoughts on those 2 changes.
I think this is a very clever change because it allows the person who is getting taunted to counter the taunt ability because you can't shake taunt, right? So the only person who can get rid of taunt is Styx, right? And other than that, if you haven't brought Styx, there's no way you can get rid of taunt. And if you can't get to Algarath because I don't know, he's got a freaking Don Rickard standing in the way or something like that, then you're just out of luck. Right, so which is, I think, where the negative play experience came from, the fact that your opponent does something and you have no kind of power to do anything about it. Now that we have this line of sight interaction, there is something you can do about it. All you have to do is push Algarath out of the way so that you can't see him anymore, and you've countered it.
I 100%
Or
agree.
you push your own hero out of the way, or you teleport your own hero, or you use Sky to effigy recall your hero and put him in such a position so that he doesn't have line of sight. So there's a lot of different options that you have now as the defending player against the taunt that you can use to deal with the taunt to stop you from just having three of your actions taken from you, essentially for the cost of one action or less, even less than an action, because it's an action on a summoned creature, which isn't even action for a hero,
Yeah,
right? It's
that's
essentially
100% right.
free
Yeah.
almost.
I mean, like, so that's exactly what we were trying to achieve. I mentioned at the top of the show earlier when we were talking about other things, we like to have legitimate counterplay in the game. being told to take one single hero in the game that can get rid of it is not really counterplay. So this we wanted some way. Now it's not that easy to block line of sight in the game because the way we play it is one 50 view model can't block line of sight to another 50 view model. So you need to have two models in base to base blocking line of sight. Could be an effigy or shrine plus one of your models, but it's possible. Now, but with the alternating activations, so just say I taunt someone and you don't want to activate him yet because he can still see Algrath, and you block line of sight with another hero, then your opponent gets another activation to try to unblock line of sight. So it's kind of a thing where it's not that easy to block line of sight. So there's enough tactical play in that to make it worthwhile. What we have stopped outright is Algrath simply running behind out of line of sight after he's taunted someone, and that person just can't even see him. So that was the main change. I think, obviously, I think the changes are good because I implemented them, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how this goes. I don't think it is a big enough. I've already seen people like Chunky's the biggest Algrath and Victor lover in the world, and he straight away said, I'll still take him. So it's not as if we've nerfed him out of the game. It just makes it a little bit less effective, but yeah, it should be better overall.
Also, thematically, it makes a lot more sense. Like
Yeah.
the idea of taunting someone, like having line of sight is kind of important because I have to be able to make faces at you to
That's right.
taunt you and get you
Yeah, you
angry.
can't
I
chuck a
can't just
brown
hide
eye.
behind a woods and be like,
That's right.
hello, I'm over here, come and get me. Like, that's not
100%.
gonna work. It's not gonna work, you
So
know?
that was the idea. So that was, yeah, I mean, and believe it or not, we do think about realism. We often do when we're doing rules to say, well, how does this actually feel like? Does it feel right? And yeah, I think now he's in a much better space. I think personally, I feel it's a much better character now. I think it's got good counterplay, but it's a really strong character, and I think I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. So now that is also, we'll get to him later, but Piper obviously has taunt at level 3, so he's been collateral damage. He's been affected by this change as well. But to be fair, Piper, you only really see him get to level 2 where he does his, I haven't seen many Pipers do taunt, to be honest. I have seen it in the
No,
past, but not a lot.
taunts is fairly incidental for Piper. Like,
Yeah.
it's if you manage to get Piper to level 3 to the point where he can taunt, you're probably winning already at that
Yeah,
point.
because he's such
I'm
a
going to be
beast.
honest. Yeah.
That's true. Excellent. Okay. The next one on the list is Gendris. So her
Gendris.
change was Root, her level 2 ability. It used to be target friendly model within 4 inches, can't be placed, pushed, or pushed, and now it also gains steady. Steady is a special rule where you ignore the first knockdown. So pretty good buff for her, and what are your thoughts, George?
I think every hero should have the opportunity to feel like to feel what it's like to be a level 2 Thrall. And now, thanks to this ability, you too can feel like a level 2 Thrall for one turn at a time. And I think it's great. I think it adds just a little bit more usefulness because pushing and placing, not all warbands focus very heavily on pushing and placing. And I think adding the anti-knockdown coverage is really good, and it makes her a lot stronger in very specific matchups. Like, if your opponent is bringing the Marcus Astario combo, you're just gonna be like, guess what? I can actually do something about that now because I can bring Gendris, which is really good because it gives her so much more utility
It does.
that.
I mean, she's got a really nice kit anyway, like useful kit, but your incentive to get her to level 2 or 3 wasn't fantastic before. I think this ability is super strong now. I think, remember, it's Root, right? So you can't get rid of it again. Like, it's not a, I mean, Stick's the only person that can, but it's not an offensive thing, it's a defensive thing, so it's not as bad. But being able to, yeah, that, I mean, Thrommel only gets one chance to knock someone down in an activation. So if you're steady against Thrommel, he can't knock you down. Marcus can do it twice if he with his shield bash, but if he's not charging with his shield bash, the second one's a lot less chance of working.
Yeah, that's gonna be, I mean, then you're essentially looking for, like, I have to,
A
like a two
J,
dice Marcus or
that's
something,
right. Yeah,
basically
exactly.
has to roll a J, which is, that's fine. I'll take that.
Yeah, like, I think it's like, You know, things like if you're near a monster, if you've got an Astarion close to a monster, you can chuck this on her. She can't be pushed into the monster. She can't be knocked down. Like, it's quite, yeah, I think it's a really good ability. Yeah, so, yeah, good quality of life change. The thing is about Jandris, I've seen her get level 3. Her level 3 is quite cool with lightning leaps. You can basically do max 12 damage to two models.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, but now you had to get level 2 through level 2 to get level 3, but now getting level 2 is actually worth it as well. So she's a legitimate level up candidate now, I think, because she becomes quite tanky as well. She's got 20 health at level 3 with one res and regen, so I think she's a, yeah. And I mentioned on the stream this morning, she's in a tough category, that, you know, Bastion, Haxar, Styx, that supporter sort of category. And I felt that she probably didn't aim up that well against them, but I think this is a big change for her, so it's good.
I think the steady gives her a little niche that none of the other support heroes can provide.
Which
opens up possibilities when people making their warband selection. You know, if you're scared about knockdown, or you're scared about difficult terrain, or that kind of stuff, take Gendris.
Yeah,
she's solid.
Yeah, 100%. Cool. All right, we've touched on Piper quickly already, so that's the taunt change. So now the big one, George. If Algrath was the star, this is definitely the co-star, or the this is Sky. He's had a significant boost. Now, a bit of a background. The Defender class is possibly the strongest. Well, it's one of the strongest classes in the game in terms of competitiveness. There's Marcus, there's Skull, there's Dunraka, and there's Thrommel. They're all powerful heroes. Always, you see them so much. And Sky was competing for that spot. You can take more than one defender, but because most defenders can't help each other, you know, you normally didn't, so he often missed out. He also, in the game, was a little bit... at level 1, he just didn't have much to do. He kind of felt he had extra actions, didn't know what to do with them sometimes. And yeah, so we've really ramped him up. So he basically dropped his level 2 Spirit Strike down to level 1.
Love it.
Yeah, and it's gone from 2S to 1J. Now, so it's a bit easier to proc, and it also is, he's got it from level 1, which is an amazing level 1 to have. It's a combat maneuver. It does stun on 1J and heals him up to 2 health points. So he's all of a sudden a good candidate for things like the Vorpal Blade. You're not going to have any spear actions with this guy, because you just be chucking that out as much as you can, right? So just hitting people. So thoughts on that one, George?
I think this is really great. I think this is what he... Having Spirit Strike from the get-go is what he needed to give him that bit of utility and table impact. Because Diversion, I mean, in terms of passive abilities, right? Because all of the defenders usually have some kind of defensive ability, not necessarily always passive. But I think his was probably the worst, because it didn't mitigate anything. It just moved stuff around.
Yeah.
And other than that, he didn't really have anything to do outside of spending fate, right?
Yeah.
But if you didn't want to spend the fate, then he was just kind of walking around. He was basically redirecting damage but not mitigating any damage, and then he was just hitting people for a couple of points with his stick, and that was it, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't impacting the table, really. But now with Spirit Strike, you are actively mitigating damage because you're taking away your opponent's actions, right? Which means if you do this against a melee hero, a damage hero, then all of a sudden you've decreased their damage and you're protecting and defending your team, which is the whole point. So I think this is great.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're 1J, right? So if you roll a 6, if you roll a J on any attack, chances are you're going to stun the person, because it does 2 damage, so all the 1 res guys automatically get damaged, and they're stunned. And if you've got 2 damage, then there's a chance he'll get he might get another hit symbol on some of the other dice. He could legitimately charge in and stun 2 people and heal 4, like, without spending any fate, or, as you said, I agree, when you didn't have fate, or you didn't want to cast his heroic stand, he just didn't have... He was just an empty sort of hero. So I think this is a big change. I think it's huge. So yeah, Commander Nightflyer has just asked a question. Spirit Strike isn't Leech, so if he gets Bloodsucker or Gift from Zarin, he can double up. That's correct. It does not give him leech. It actually heals him too. So it does stack with leech. Now, it could be overkill because, I mean, but yep, it's possible you could do that. So that's something else. He's also good for now, also the armor shredder. So a 1J will actually stun any defender he hits as well, or a res 2 character. Yeah, he's got a lot of options.
Thrommel's going to be very sour about that.
Well, you were just saying how good, you know, Thrommel's gotten better and this sort of stuff. So it's quite, yeah, I think it's good. Like, Thrommel's about to get a boost, by the way. We're talking about him next. But yeah, so.
Sure. But, another thing I wanted to mention about Spirit Strike is that the way, having it from level one now actually motivates you to use Diversion to take damage onto Sky.
Yes.
Because that way, if you're going in the turn one of the game, if you take any kind of ranged fire or something, then you divert the fire onto yourself, and then starting in turn two, you can heal that stuff back up over the course of the next couple of turns.
100%. That's where the stacking with Leech really adds up, because you could just take all the damage on yourself. Now, in the past, because he's agility 6, taking damage just really hurt him, because it was, you know, he's only got 15 health. He's got the lowest health of the defenders. So he just didn't feel good taking damage on an agility 6 guy when it was so hard to damage him anyway. But now,
which in turn made Diversion less useful.
It did, yes. Now this, take all the damage on Sticks, activate him next, heal it up. It's crazy. He's got inbuilt damage mitigation now. He really has, because he can take all the damage and then heal it up next turn. So if you're trying to play that style where he's going to take all the damage, you could get him the Leech Blade and he'll be healing 4 every time he hits someone, if he does 4 damage, up to 4. So it's quite cool.
Which is very cool, because now that you can buy 2 items in a turn, you can get Sky the monster kill in turn 1 so that he gets to level 2, so that you can buy the Ring of Teleportation and the Leech Blade. And then all of a sudden, you are the one.
So Nightfly has actually brought up a good point. You actually deal 2 damage to heal 4 because they both trigger separately. So he's, yeah, you do, when you do 2 damage, his Spirit Strike will heal you 2, and separately, Leech will heal you 2. So he's actually 100% correct. Every 2 damage you do, you'll heal 4 if you have the Leech Blade.
Which is a pretty good return on investment.
Oh, it's huge. He's a beast. So that's good. Now, if that wasn't enough, he actually got another buff. So replacing his level 2 ability, we got a thing called Dimension Warp. Now, it's complicated to read it out word for word, so I'll just explain what it does. If he successfully effigy recalls, he basically can take someone with him back to the effigy. A couple of important things. It has to be successful, so if he's knocked down Triple Jade when he's doing it, but being an Agi 6 guy, that's pretty rare. If it's interrupted by any way, it won't work. But if he successfully effigy recalls, a model that was within 2, friendly model, at the time he did it, can be placed in base-to-base with the effigy as well. Now, the important distinction here is, while Sky is effigy recalling, the model, his friendly model, is placing. So the friendly model cannot be parting blowed, because it's a place.
Which is huge.
It's huge. So if you've got a friend who's knocked down in the middle of 5 dudes, Sky can walk over and teleport him back to the effigy.
I have a suggestion for you. Yeah. I think you should change the name of the ability to "Come with me if you want to live." Because it's so cool. He can just run in from downtown, grab a person by the hand, and just whoop, just teleport on out of there. It's so cool.
That's 100% correct. And like I mentioned that on the stream this morning, so the Ring of Teleportation, which we haven't seen a lot of people use, lets you effigy recall for 1 action. It has now become a huge item on this guy, because he can charge into a combat and effigy recall out with it. He can, you know, like, he can do 2 attacks on people and still effigy recall, taking a friend with him. And don't forget, right, so with his heroic stand, he's got heroic stand up. He heroic stands to a person, defends them, gives them 4 temporary health. If the person's still going ham, he can get both of them out of their next activation. It's pretty huge.
Even better, right? You get the ring of... So you've done your first turn, right?
Yep.
You've gotten the monster kill, so you got him to level 2, and you got him the Ring of Teleportation and the Leech Blade, because that's like his super cool item loadout that he loves now. Then next turn, what you can do is you can send in one of your heroes pretty deep, right? You can walk forward, right? Speed 5 plus the 2-inch range. So that's a 7-inch bubble that he can use to friendly, to do dimensional warp to friends.
Yep.
You can pull that Zonya that you just committed, for instance, you can pull them back to base.
Yep.
And then on top, as your last action, you can do heroic stand so that if your other hero,
or your other heroes
who are still in the middle of the field, if they get targeted, you teleport back into the field.
Back into the fray.
And then you can diversion stuff in the middle of the board.
Yeah, he's good. He's so it's funny, right? So someone submitted their Vassal Warband. They'll remain unnamed. And then after the stream this morning, they swapped out the Defender for Sky.
I'm having a lot of doubts. I know I'm supposed to be really revealing my warband next, but I'm starting to have doubts as we're doing this podcast.
No, he's great. Jeff's got him in his warband, so we're going to see. Jeff is obviously a good player using him, and Jeff has always liked Sky anyway. I'm super excited about this because what I don't like is we put so much effort into making heroes. We want to make them all viable. Now, he was still viable, and I've used him in the past, but now he's exciting viable. Like, he's a good choice. He's strong enough now to build a warband around. I don't think the abilities have made him any more annoying. He's actually quite cool. I think he's got some really characterful abilities. Remember, he's a monk. So being able to stun people with his bow staff, heal up, you know, heal himself up and teleport people through another dimension. Like, I think he's a space monk because he's from the future. So I think it's a really good character. Yeah, I'm super excited to see how he goes now. He's a legitimate challenge now for Don Raka and Marcus and Skoll and Thrommel. Where in the past,
yeah,
I don't think he was a legitimate challenge for them.
I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think he's really become a viable choice, and he still does the defender stuff. He's very good at defending, but he just does it with a different flavor than the other ones, you know. So this, if you like mobility, this guy should be in your warband, you know. If you really like playing, you know, the Sticks, the Cavados, the Victors, the Astarios, people who fly around the board, or move a lot, teleport, this kind of stuff. Well, guess what? Those guys need defenders too, and Sky is the man for the job.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's going to be really cool. I can't wait to see some of the shenanigans. I mean, movement shenanigans, George, like, you know, you love Sticks. And on the new map,
yeah,
we've got the teleportation stones, and everyone's pumped about them. And, you know, the movement shenanigans are so much fun. And this is a really characterful one, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what it can do. It's going to be, I know there's going to be tears when you've got, you know, Zonya on one health. This dickhead comes in and takes her out of the fray.
Yeah.
It's going to be... I mean, because think about this, right? So he teleports back to the effigy, right? He effigy recalls. You put him base to base with the effigy. You can place the injured hero behind them.
Behind you.
And you block line of sight because the effigy's...
And not only that, but if they then counter by sending somebody deep at your effigy to try and finish off the job, if he has the ring of teleportation, he can... Maybe he put up heroic stand and he can still divert the hit points. So all of a sudden he can still prevent and mitigate a whole bunch of damage that your opponent then, you know, and then all of a sudden their hero is in danger of getting killed. And you've just established this really big back and forth interaction.
Yeah, 100%. Just on the stream. So Night Flyer, you can change your warband. You've got till Wednesday before it's locked in. And he actually has he has Sky as his avatar on Discord, so I'm pretty sure he might be making that change. So feel free to do
Night Flyer, I would suggest to build Sky into your new warband. Remember, this is, you know, I mean, we're only submitting warbands for 3v3s, and on the 3v3 map, you know, having a 7-inch reach on your friendly effigy recall and having a 5-inch radius on your heroic stand is a huge section proportion of the map.
Yeah, it is.
It's a big deal.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy can really make a warband sink. Plus, in 3v3s, getting teleported back to your effigy doesn't take you out of the game. If you're an aggressor,
right,
and you get teleported back to your effigy, you can just charge immediately straight back into the middle of the board next turn, and you know, you're not taken out of the game. So it's a really big advantage.
100%.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Theo can't make up his mind up for the league. He's asking what time on Wednesday they're going to be in. I'll say midnight Sydney time, Theo. There you go. How's that sound?
Which basically means What is it? Tuesday for everybody else.
Yeah, that's right. You've got 2 days. Basically, got almost 48 hours from now to put your warbands in for the Vassal League. If there's any people stragglers who want to be part of the league, I can still slot you in. But yeah, it needs to be pretty quick to get in. So we've got 15 players. It's going to be immense. I can't wait. Right. So we both agree that Sky is top tier now. He's a beast.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can't wait to see him in action.
He's really competing. He's a very serious contender now with all of the other
Yeah,
defender heroes.
100%. All right. George Svetlana, we've got a very slight nerf for her. Beast Command went from 6 inches to 5. This is more of a, so from the outset with Judgment, we maintain that we want to make sure heroes are equally, well, are viable on both 3 versus 3 and 5 versus 5. Some are better for 3 versus 3, some are better for 5 versus 5. We felt on the 3 versus 3 maps, 6 inches range for Beast Command was a little over, little bit just, rough. So we've cut it back by an inch. We're going to keep monitoring her. It's not a big change, but with movement 3, and I like it cuts her down to 8 inches where she can move a monster. So I don't know. It's one of those small changes we'll keep monitoring.
I have a little bit of a bone to pick with you about this one. How dare you nerf the soul here, the soul gazer that I just got into right after I did
Well, it's
it.
not a big
I
nerf.
can't help but feel the timing on this is suspicious, Andy. It feels personal.
What? I haven't copped much abuse actually. Normally, yeah. I'm assuming, when we
It's a
get
fine
to.
change. It's a
Yeah,
fine change. I absolutely agree with it. I
yeah.
think the 6-inch was. I mean, the 6-inch range plus the 2-inch monster blaze plus the
Yeah.
3-inch walk plus the 1 or 2-inch melee on the monster just basically gave her I don't know,
Yeah, it was too
6
much.
8
Yeah.
11, like it's like a 12-inch gun
Yeah,
basically,
it was too much. So
right?
I think, yeah,
It
we've
kept her
100%.
too safe. It
Yeah,
kept her too safe.
it
Now she
did.
has to be a little bit more forward, and also I think on now the 5v5 maps she can't just walk and Beast Command immediately on all of the
Yeah, because
monsters.
some of them she was actually just in range
Just
and
in
she'd adjust
range,
down.
yeah.
I think my gut feeling is 4 inches is probably a bit rough on her. Five feels about right, but we'll continue to monitor it. But it's a small
Yeah,
change.
I think so too. I think 4 inches would have been too much in terms of short range, yeah.
So cool. That's Beast Command change for Svetlana. I was going to say when Judgment becomes as big as War Machine and Hordes, and we've got 10,000 maniacs out there, you can imagine the abuse we're going to cop for our quarterly updates. It's going to be quite
Oh my
interesting.
goodness, it's gonna be crazy.
I'm not sure I'll have the stream chat turned off whenever I'm doing it when we're as big as PP. That'll be cool. So Commander Nightfly's upset if he puts in Sky, it changes the whole warband. But anyway, that's the tough choices you need to make, mate, in the big leagues. You want to win the Vassal
This
League?
is exactly, and it really is tough choices. I've been agonizing over my warband choice, and I still am right now, even though I'm about to hit, send, basically.
So imagine, George, when we get to the stage where we've got World Team Championships of Judgment and you have to pick your warband. That's going to be, we might have 50 heroes by then. That'd be
Wow,
exciting.
that would be absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
Okay, Uncle Thrummel. Speaking
Dibs.
of.
In that scenario, I got dibs on sticks.
Yeah, because you can't repeat your heroes across your team. That'd be, it's
No,
going to be awesome.
I gotta call dibs right now on that one.
I can't wait. Team Holland. They'll be
Yeah.
fighting over sticks.
All three of us.
All right, cool. Thrummel Ironbeard. A lot of people's favorite defender. He's a beast. Awesome character. He's got a buff. So this is started off as a quality of life with Thrummel. Everyone knows he's got a 2-attack weapon, so when he charges, that's all he can do. When he dwarf tosses, he'd hit someone, that's all he could do, things like that. But there were instances where. So, first of all, he's a pretty one-dimensional character, right? He has a 2-attack weapon, he hits them, that's all is all he normally does. And then he'll do his fade ability and knock them down. So, this has got a bit more utility. He probably had the least amount of utility in the entire game. So, there were times where you were in the middle of the combat, you'd hit someone with 2 actions, had nothing to do with your action. So, we've given him a thing called Fierce Challenge. It's a poor man's taunt. So, basically, for 1 action, any model within 6 inches is challenged, and if they target someone else besides him in the next activation, they're minus one dice to their attack dice pool. So not a huge debuff on the enemy, but it's, you know, it's not trivial. It gives him something to do. You also can use him to sort of run 6 inches, and then, so he's got 12 inch threat range with this. I've already used it in practice games where I've targeted someone about to charge the effigy and they're minus one dice on it, particularly if he's in base combat with it, because he also gives it plus two res the first attack. So
yeah,
he's actually a very good effigy defender.
Bodyguard to charge attack and first challenge the rest.
Minus one dice.
Also, I have another name suggestion for you. I think you should change the name of this ability to Old Man Yelling at Kids. I can just picture Rommel just being like, you know, like 10 meters, like being like stuck in the distance out of the fight, going, "Oh, you dumb kids, oh, come on, oh," just yelling at people because he's frustrated that he can't fight anyone.
So yeah, it's going to be, I know, it's so characterful him, right? You're right. I mean, everyone's running away from him. His short legs can't get there, so he fierce challenges them and they're minus one dice.
Yeah. It's cool. It must be distracting having some, like, you know, dwarf yelling at you, telling you you're bad and everything, making you feel self-conscious.
Yeah, 100%. I think, I think this is cool. I think I can't wait. I've used it, like I said, I have a lot of Thrummel. I use a lot of Thrummel a lot. So it's a really nice change for him. It's a small buff.
Absolutely needed something to do on non-attacking turns.
Yeah, I think it's cool. So that's him. So I'm going to go through some of the chats. People are pretty excited about Sky. Flickster. Hey, Flick, how you going? Flickster is one of the big streamers from the UK, and he's having a battle against another streamer, Rainer, at Adepticon. So it's a UK streamer versus a US streamer. I'm refereeing it. And he's painting up. Yeah,
cool.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah, and they're amazing painters. So Flixer said he can't paint fast enough, which is interesting. And Joffrey reckons a team event with no duplication of heroes would be so awesome. It would be. I can't wait for that day. Hopefully we'll do it. We'll probably do it in Australia first, to be honest. We'll have a team event, but eventually we'll have it international. And cool. Okay, yeah. So that's quite cool. So George, Thrummel, we're happy. It's good.
Yeah, he was, the things that he was doing well. He was taking damage. He was fighting for shrines, holding shrines, just being a general, like, you know, annoying, impossible to KO pain in the ass. And, you know, once he goes Super Saiyan, he just becomes this rocket jumping comet of knockdown and damage and general awfulness that he was. Mm. But there were turns that he had where he was just out of the game. He did nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, things like I would just, for instance, rush a Piper at him and just put Piper in base to base with him and put duplicate self up, and then you're just like, you forfeit your turn.
Yeah.
You know, basically. Mm. And, you know, or on respawn turns, I mean, Thrommel was having the worst time.
Yeah.
After getting
now
killed.
He's got a 9-inch threat to fierce challenge someone. He can move 3 and chuck it on him.
Exactly. So he can get back into the fight and still contribute on that resurrection turn, which is critical, because otherwise you just lose so much.
100%. So I think I think it's cool. It's gonna be awesome to see how it works. So good old little.
A lot of dwarves in this patch.
Yeah, I think so this is an interesting point, George. I'm really happy actually you said that, because when at the start, right, we don't have races in this game in terms of locked into a certain race or faction, right? So that means you can mix and match as you go, but we did want to have racial identities. So you wanted to have some inherent abilities that races have. Now, in every game I've played, undead have always been over the top and dwarves have always been underpowered, mainly because of the inherent race abilities they get. So undead have always been immune to fear and terror and all those psychology things, and they can re-raise crap. And it's just hard to balance that. And dwarves are always slow moving, grumpy. And so I think for us, it's a good challenge to make them characterful, feel like dwarves, but they're actually on par and viable with the other heroes in the game. So, and in this one, actually three of them, yeah, you're right, three of them actually got touched, which we didn't really plan, but the big one is coming up next.
This is the big one.
Now, this is Zaffin. So, once again, similar to Gendry's, Zaffin's in that sort of a pretty competitive space, right? He's competing with Astariel, he's competing with Alan Deere, And even some of the
And
other,
Victor.
and Victor, yeah, and even some of the secondary range guys like a Cavado and things like that kind of felt better for than him at certain times. So
Saffin personally was my lowest ranked aggressor.
there you go. So now, and when he was first designed, he was meant to be the judgment's equivalent of the closest thing to an artillery piece. Now, I mentioned it earlier this morning that veteran judgment players will know that Zaffin and Alan Dear both had 10-inch range when they first came into the
That's right.
game. We knocked them both down to 9, and in hindsight, we should have left Zaffin where he was because now he's back to 10 inches. It's very characterful. He is not having a good time when he gets dove'd and he get dived and he gets engaged. So now it makes it a little bit more difficult to do that because he could be 10 inches away shooting you, and even a Zonya can't charge him because she's got 9-inch threat. So it's actually quite cool. If you can set that up, it's a good tactical play to do. The other thing, so that's a 10-inch range, and I'll let you talk about both at the same time. The other thing is his momentous shot, which is an awesome ability. It was a knockdown, but it was 2J. And everyone who's known who's played for Zeal, 2J is very swingy, it's hard to get. So we've cut it down to 1S and 1J.
Yeah, I agree with this completely. I think it brings him in line with the other S and J abilities like Kogan's. I mean, Kogan is the kind of the direct analog to Zaffin in terms of this ability. So, I think that they should be on similar kind of probability distributions. I think the 2J should be exceptionally rare and exceptionally powerful, which is why I agree with Lord Fazeel with the decapitation getting a 2J. Absolutely. But I think Momentous Shot was just not that kind of power, like game impact that it needed the 2J.
Like in Tort was that Tort's been posting some statistics. It's a significant difference in how easy it is to proc this now than it was before. 1S plus 1J is a lot easier than 2J to proc. It's something like, it's not double, but it's a significant increase in probability. So he's now a legitimate knockdown person. Which, and everyone knows it's probably the most powerful condition in the game.
With, yeah, now that it's 1S, 1J, it makes it probable enough that if you get him the Heartseeker, your odds will be good enough to the point where you can build some kind of strategy
You
around
can,
this.
and if he gets to level 2, man, he's in another dice against a race as well. So he could be aiming for 8 range. The item heart gives you 9. He could be 10 RNG. If he
Yeah.
with his racial, he could be 5 dice, 2 attacks against an elf, and he's gonna hurt them if he hits them. Like that's significant. So, and then also he's got his big game hunter, which is extra D6 true damage at the end. He's good, scary now, I think.
Which I think he needed. I think he needed he because up until now I've always been like, why would I take Zaffin if I can take Alan Dir or Estariel? To be like completely honest. Like Estariel, she can get out of combat. Zaffin can't. I mean, the last couple of times I've played against Zaffin, all I've done is engage him in melee and then just that's it, then he doesn't do anything. Because I could he always was in a position where I could get him in melee because of his gun range, right? And he's not as good as Alan Dir or Estariel at getting out of being engaged, the other two having high agility so that they could take a parting blow without getting the triple J, because a lot of times they're only taking two maximum three dice on a parting blow, so they could reasonably likely get out of there. He doesn't have that advantage, so he needs something else. And I think the 10-inch range gives him something that gives him a unique niche, because that 1 inch extra range in this game, I think a lot of the newer players probably don't think it's a big deal, but I think the older players who have been there, who played him went back when he was 10 inches in the beginning, will realize that it's actually a pretty big
It's huge.
difference
I mean, like I just
between a
said,
9-inch range and a 10-inch range.
like most of the aggressors, most of the heroes in the game, 9 inches is the maximum threat range they've got on a charge. Now, if he's 10 inches away, he's shooting his own yarn, she can't charge him. If he gets off momentous shot, he can put another D3 inches back and put on her ass. Like, it's a significant, it is a big difference. I think it's cool. I think it's great. I'm super excited about this. I think he was just under the curve, and I believe the changes are going to bring him back into contention.
I
And this
think
is not one.
especially the extra range over the course of a game means that he takes less damage, means that he deals more damage, or he spends more time dealing damage, and the extra probability of getting the knockdown and the pushback, just adds a little bit more in the exact same departments.
Yeah, cool. All right, so there we are. Pretty good. Another change. Now, the last one for the heroes is Zarin. This is actually
Once again, going after my soul gazers. I have two soul gazers and both of them got nerfed. What is this? I play
you've
Zarin and I play Svetlana, and you
just
gotta
got
go
a
after both
reputation
of
for
them?
cheese, George. So we just thought, well,
Jeez,
anything
what
George
is
is
this?
buying is obviously overpowered. So.
It's obviously overpowered, yeah. Must nerf.
Now,
But I
this
think
is.
also I gotta agree with you on this change. It was weird. It was weird. I'll be honest with you.
Now,
But true that.
the thing about seeing a Res 2, tough tank running away from a skeleton because it's gonna mitigate, two true damage to a defender is like a crit, right? It's like doing four damage because you're doing two damage
Yeah,
to it,
exactly. Yeah.
and it wasn't, it didn't look right, it didn't feel right. We are conscious of the defenders and anyone who had with Res having a lot of things that mitigate it. We fixed treacherous ground so it doesn't affect the Res 2 guys anymore, and we felt while the Zarin explode was a bit more legit, but the skeletons was one that just didn't feel right. So for people who don't know, explode no longer does true damage, so resilience will mitigate it. It means now with a skeleton you can charge a Res 2 defender in or a Res 2 character in, and they can have no fear they're going to get
They
any
can
damage.
face tank
They
it,
can blow
which
up.
makes sense, right?
Yes.
Makes sense. Like, if you think about it, like, if you are wearing a full suit of plate mail, right? That's like 80 pounds of steel, right? You're wearing 80 pounds of steel, and then you get hit, you hit a skeleton and it explodes because the magic that is keeping it, alive is gone. That's not gonna do anything to you. It's just gonna just ping off your armor. It's like shrapnel, basically.
Yeah, that's right. It's
It's
bones,
supposed to be scary to really squishy, cloth wearing wizards,
And the
which it
elves.
is,
The
right?
high edgy
For
guys
the
with
exactly the high
low.
edgy guys. But it's not, it was never supposed to
No.
be designed to counter your big, tanky,
No.
heavy hitters like, Marcus or Dunraka,
And there
right?
was
It's
almost, once again, very little counterplay. You had to, if Zarin, the Zarin player pushed the skeleton in your face, you basically were wearing often multiple two true damage to multiple heroes. So at least now there's counterplay for it, which is it's a common theme, but
Just,
that's a theme of judgment. You want to have legitimate counterplay. The other thing was, there's a stream game where I charged Zarin twice with Marcus, killed him twice, and took 10 true damage to the face. It got to the point where with Zarin, if you weren't killing him from range, he was pretty much dicey trying to kill him because explode five was horrendous. So now there is counterplay for him as well. So it's still strong. He's still going to do three damage to the tanks, and he's still going to do five to all the other, squishies. But like a Nephany never wants to kill a Zarin, I'll tell you right now, because he's going to get five damage to the face. But taking the edge off it as well, so it doesn't do true damage is nice. I think it's another nice change. I think the main change that's going to affect is the skeletons, but I think that's warranted.
It forces you to, it kind of pushes you into a direction where you send the skeletons at the kind of targets they're supposed to be sent at, which is, like enemy soul gazers and squishies who don't like getting, you don't like taking parting blows and exploding skeleton damage and stuff like that. You're supposed to kind of, it's supposed to be a chip damage and dice modification and body blocking, not, anti-armor, what is it? Aliens with the acidic blood spraying, bombs that you just launch at your opponent's heaviest troops and just annihilate them with these, crazy, crazy explosive stuff. So it makes sense. And the Explode getting nerfed on Zarin, if you play it right, you should never be using this rule. Right, because your Zarin is never going to get killed. Why? Because your Zarin is like 14 inches back at the back of the field, just vacuuming up souls all over the board with your skeletons.
And he can shadow orb out just, and stuff like that as well. So,
exactly, yeah. And then shadow orbing to safety. Yeah. So he should never explode.
I love Zarin as a character. He's amazing. I love his backstory. He's one of my favorite ones when I write the backstory. I love writing about him. He's really cool. Yeah, so I think this is a good quality of life change, and it's a slight nerf, but he's still a wonderful hero to use in the game, so it's cool. With that, we are at the end of the patch discussion, so fair to say it's a pretty exciting patch. Everyone's been really positive about it. I think next 3 months is going to be fun playing this patch until the next one comes along. This is probably the biggest, except for the early ones, we were really doing changes. It's the biggest change we've done in a while, but... yeah, I think I was explaining before, we get a lot more players than we ever have in the past, a lot more feedback. Yeah, and we do listen, we do read everything that gets posted. Yeah, and we do discuss everything. So we're trying our best to navigate ourselves and navigate the game so it stays brilliant and fun, and we don't want to lose our way. So these quality patches are our way to sort of make sure we're in the right track. So keep the feedback coming and let us know what you think, and whatever George buys, we're going to nerf. That's basically the rule.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
That's awesome. All right, George, Vassal League, bro. Let's go through your big five.
Let's do it. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another Vassal League. That means it's time to throw down and put your life on the line, mainly your honor or your pride. And I have decided... on my five,
yep.
I've the first three were auto picks for me.
Yep.
The fourth was a carefully made decision, and the last one was an agonizing choice that I'm still not sure about and is going to haunt me for weeks to come about whether or not I made the right choice.
All right, let's go off. Let's hear the first three then, the ones that were auto picks.
First three, which for me were auto picks, were basically based on how much experience I had with them, how powerful I consider the heroes, and what jobs they did in my warband. Okay?
Yep.
So first up, I have Thorgar.
Okay. Yep.
Anyone who knows me should realize this is a no-brainer.
It's early days, but George is arguably the best Thorgar player in the world. He is a specialist at that big man, I'll tell you right now.
I just love Thorgar. To me, still the best hero in the game. Even after getting nerfed, still the best hero in the game. Okay. I'll be happy to show all of you guys why I think he's the best hero in the game, but I think it has something to do with the fact that you can do like 25 damage in activation.
Mm.
And that I've done it. I've done it plenty of times. Yeah. He just cranks it out. He just does so much. He just completely runs the table. So that's my first choice.
Okay.
My second choice is Skull.
Yep.
So Skull for me, he's kind of what he's my pivot, right? So he is the pivot that holds the center that everything else goes around. So based on where I plan on moving Skull in a particular turn, that's kind of where my warband is going to go, right? So because he keeps everybody close, he keeps everybody safe, does damage on my opponent, he controls the board for me, he does basically heals with the bulwark, which is absolutely critical. He does the counterplay to enemy soul gazing with the soul burn, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
He has a crap ton of hit points. He helps me face tank monsters. He deals damage to monsters. He provides assist dice for my melee attackers. He just does everything. And no matter what happens, I can always find a good use for a Skull activation. It's great.
Okay, so I've got these two in my warband too, George. That's a good start so far.
Okay, keep good going. Start. All right. So I have those two. Those are my first two brainers. Those were, pretty much immediately in there. My third no-brainer for me personally was Kogan.
Ooh. This is a left field one. Okay. So you got tanky as hell, George, at the moment. Pretty good. Yep.
Yeah. So Kogan for me is one of the probably more underrated heroes of Wave 2. I think people see him first and then they're like, oh wow, he seems really powerful. And then I think they look at him again and they think, well, yeah, but his gun is short range and, you know, or they play him and something doesn't go quite well. And then I think they ditch him again. But I think he has the potential to be one of the most powerful heroes in the game. He can just do incredible. I mean, he has the highest damage output, highest theoretical damage output per turn, both in melee and at range, which is pretty crazy. I think he has utility that people don't see, and he has very strong synergies with my other heroes. So that's pretty much my third no-brainer.
Excellent. Good. I haven't got Kagan, so that's a left field one. I wouldn't have thought of that. Good stuff. Yep.
Then my fourth one, this was a tactical consideration. I went with Svetlana. For me, it was a toss-up between whether I was going to play Svetlana or Zarin, because I wanted to have one Soulgazer in my five to give me an option. So I'm running a primary Soulgazer and two secondary Soulgazers, Skull being one of my secondaries, and then a support hybrid character for my second secondary. And then I wanted to have one primary, which would be Svetlana, because she A is good at soul gazing. She is very good at interacting with monsters, and she's very tanky, which means she gives me another hero that I can use to hold shrines. Right, shrine play is important, so I would have to think, who am I going to send in to contest a shrine? I don't want to send in my melee aggressors to contest shrines because I want to hold them back so that when you counter my contesting model, then I send in my melee aggressor to kill you. Right, so I need someone I can send out first, you know,
So
to run in the line of fire and get
you've got a
machine gun down.
super tanky warband here. You've got the tankiest Soulgazer, two
Yep.
Minotaurs with a lot of hit points, and Skull, who's the health tank as well. I'm impressed. Now, there's no way you're taking Kogan and you're not taking Styx. Is that right or not? Am I right? Am I right? Is Styx your fifth?
You are incorrect.
Oh, not no Styx, George. All right. Okay.
I will take Styx, but he's in my 5v5 roster. So Styx, if I make it through the playoffs, then Styx
He comes
will
in.
be one of the two heroes that gets added to my roster.
Okay, all right.
Purely because I've played him on 3v3 maps, and I find that the other hero that my actual fifth hero is good enough at filling the Styx role on the smaller 3v3 map whilst providing more durability than Styx
Kavana,
has
is
and
it
more deep.
Kavana? Is it
Yes, it
Kavana? That was
is.
my second choice. Okay,
So this was my agonizing choice. This is the one that I'm still not sure about. The reason I'm not sure about it is not because Kavado isn't a good hero, he's a great hero, but because of all the times that I've been playing him in my roster this whole time, and I've been playing pick and ban the whole time, and I've always ended up leaving him at home because my other four are so strong that I always end up, he doesn't usually get banned, but he gets benched.
I'm a big Kavado
But
fan. I'm a big Kavado fan.
yeah. However, given a certain situation, given particular situations, I will auto pick him first and I can practically like auto win the game. Two reasons why I chose him is I wanted to have him because he provides conditions. So I don't have fire in my warband and I don't have poison in my warband. I wanted both of those. So my warband, I have push, I have throw, I have knockdown, I have poison, and I have fire. And now also I have place. So that's
If you can't bring Kogan to the enemy, bring enemy to Kogan. That's the
exactly.
I like it, George. I like it.
So is that. Then he also helps me with my shrine play, which I want to be strong, right? So strong shrine heroes. Kogan is actually a very strong shrine hero because he loves hiding behind a shrine and then shooting people over the top of it, which is great. I love it. Skull's a great shrine hero because he's tough and he heals my Kogan. Svetlana's a strong shrine hero because he's super tanky and also gets healed by Skull. And then I can, make that even better with Kvado, who can teleport other people off shrine so that I get the controlling bonus.
All right, so pretty strong five. So George, I'm going to recap: Thorgar, Skoll, Kogan, Svetlana, and Kvato. Are you willing to tell us if you could pick three in a game? Does it depend on who you're playing in the map, or do you have a favorite three out of that five? Is it the first three?
I can run it down for you. So the idea, I structure my warbands by my warband selection based on what my opponent bans, right? So
Right, okay, yeah.
I have a roster based for every hero that gets banned.
Yeah, I
So
do the same
this is
too.
the great thing.
Cool,
Yeah.
yeah.
So what I like. So basically, this warband is designed to be unbannable, as in no matter who you ban, you end up with a bad matchup for you or a
Yeah.
good matchup for you,
Yeah.
right? So I have the strongest pick and ban roster ever. That is my challenge to you guys. Bring it. So it doesn't matter who you ban in my warband, I always get what I want. So
So
if you
George, you're
ban
gonna be
Skull.
undefeated, is what you're telling me in the Vassal League?
Yeah. That's what I'm
Yeah.
telling you. You heard it here first.
Can I go through my five? I want to get
Yeah,
your
go through
opinion.
five. Yeah, go through five.
All
And then
right.
I'll do a pick and ban against you live.
Okay, let's do that. We'll do that for the audience. Okay, so I've gone old school. I won a King of the Grove of Heat pretty early on, before Wave 2 came out. And I've got Skoll, Bastion, and Thorgar as my main three. I also have Piper. So Skoll, Bastion,
Oh,
Thorgar,
yes.
Piper.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
then I've added Jaeger. Now, in the original tournament warband, I had a Staryu instead of Jaeger, but I've taken her out and put a Jaeger in for a few reasons. I really like, particularly in three versus three, the game can slip away from you. Soul stripping is super cool to get yourself back
Soul
into the
stripping
game.
without fate
Yes,
is even
to
better.
get yourself back into the game. If you
Yeah,
get to,
huge.
yeah, because if they get, once they get to two, it gets dangerous. If they get to three, you can obviously lose at any stage. It can rapidly get out of hand, so he can pull it back. I like that ability for him. He's a bit more resilient than her, I find. He's got more utility, and his Retiarus is great with things like Skull, who benefits from getting the minus two agi on them as well. So I think he's been a great addition. I played a game the other day against Nightflyer on Vassal just for practice, and it was really cool. It went really well. So yeah, it's Skull, Bastion, Thorgar, Jaeger, and Piper. So there's my five. So
Very
George,
nice.
I still pick and ban. It's theoretical. You've won the dice. You want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
So you're making me ban first.
I'll make you ban first. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. If I was faced with Thorgar, so it does depend on the map. On any swamp map, Svetlana would go straight away.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
So.
I'm assuming it's a lot. Well, the thing is, right, remember, in this tournament we're playing random monster spawns,
We
which
are.
means there's a big chance that I get an Ashtooth on the
I know,
map that I'm playing,
I
which
know,
means
I
that the Svetlana ban, it's like you better think real hard about this.
So I'll probably do that. The other option, I think, if I was looking at this honestly, the two that I would look to ban would be Kvado or Svetlana. Kvado I find quite powerful, obviously, for shrine play. He can really screw you around. He's also good at moving monsters into you, I think, and it's unpredictable. It's very difficult to predict with Thorgar, Skoll, and Kogan. It's a lot more of a predictable warband. So I obviously can only ban one of them. So I think on Swamp, I'd vet Svetlana. I think on anything else, I'd probably ban Kvado. That's my.
So that was part of my strategy as well, to have two heroes that slingshot monsters at you.
Yeah. So
And
you can't get
because
rid of
of the
one of them.
fact that we have a random monster spawning for all spawns on all maps, it's that mechanic has become more powerful for this particular Vassal League. So I wanted to make that unbannable. So whichever one you ban, I will bring the other one. So either I will bring Kvado or Svetlana based on which one of the two you ban. I would wait and see. If you ban Svetlana, I'm definitely banning Jaeger. Because he'll just strip my souls, right? All he needs is a glancing hit because I only have res one versus range, and you do two base damage, right? So all you need is a hit, and
Plus they're all low agi. They're all agi three. coding and
Exactly.
scrolling
No
through
agi,
the.
which means that you get a lot of dice. I don't want that. I don't want that hassle. So I would just ban Jaeger and just go toe to toe with, your Thorgar Skull.
So I don't know. I'd probably go Piper Bastion Skull against you
That's
because
true, yeah.
his agi is probably he's very good against Kogan and Thorgar, as is his duplicate self. If you ban Jaeger, I'd probably go those three. So maybe we should have a battle on the Vassal, George. We can talk about it next week.
Absolutely,
Let's have a
yeah.
battle during
That's
the
be
day.
exciting.
Just on the chat, I've got a couple of things. Just a while back, Nightflyer asked about if Zarin gets your armor shredder, what does it do with explode? The armor shredder does say attacks, so explode is not an attack, so it wouldn't actually work for explode. We could clarify it by putting basic attack on the armor shredder card, but that's what the call would be if you asked me in a tournament. Jeffrey said he's banning George in that scenario. Tort in the Vassal module, because Tort, if people don't know, he does the Vassal module for us and does a sterling job. He's now got a random monster token in the new Vassal module after this patch. You put Control
Awesome.
R and it randomizes the monster that appears. So we've actually
Super
got, yeah,
cool.
it's built into the Vassal module. So check it out if you don't know the Vassal module. There's a link on our website and get in Discord, people will give it to you. So George, great warbands. We might try to play a game during the week. We're in different pools for the Vassal League, so we can play against each other and not give each other hit pointers. Like we can, it's called practice for each other, so we could do that.
Yeah, we can do a little stream to stream match. We can stream a match next week
We
on
could do
Monday,
that. Yeah, we could
next
do that.
Monday.
Yeah, we could do that. That'd be cool.
All right.
All right. Cool. So thank you, everybody. I think that's probably the end. George, anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. I'll see you
Yeah.
guys online and
Yeah.
have fun picking your war bands. Remember, you got like 2 days left to do it. Get them submitted and sent in.
Yeah, exactly. So we've run a bit over today, but it's been a really good show. Probably the best show we've done so far, I think. We've done the whole patch notes plus our warbands. But thanks for joining us. We've had a good crowd actually watching on the stream the whole time, which has been great. Send any questions for George and I think Colin's gonna be coming back soon. We might do a three-way at some stage. We'll work something out. It'd be really cool to get another person on the stream. Vassal League, yeah. So I'll be publishing once I get all the warbands. I'll be publishing them all and doing a big article about it. George and I will, and we'll be talking about it in the next stream as well, about the warbands and our pools and anything that's outstanding. I'm gonna do statistics on what heroes are picked. It's always fun to see how popular
I
some
love the
heroes are.
stats.
Yeah, you
I
love them
love the
too.
hero
So
stats.
it's gonna be cool. So lots to talk about. Very exciting times for all the judgmentalists out there. Super cool. Big thank you to George once again for taking the time for the podcast. This will go up on audio on Audio Boom shortly. I'll put it up tonight so people can get it. And when the Americans wake up in the morning, it'll be there. And yeah, thank you very much and speak to you next time.
All right. Thanks again, guys.
Cheers, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming. See ya.
Bye.